Okay, this is, you don't have to follow along if you want to, you can, or read it later. You'll see many, many things that I won't point out tonight. But this is Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. And you say, oh, this is the night Jesus was betrayed. Yes. There are many things we could major on. But we're going to major on one thing and talk about that. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. I won't stop while we read this except at this point. It feels like to some of us, maybe to you, certainly to me, I'm saying, Lord, I'm sitting here, and I know you're over yonder doing something. But we're sitting here right now. I think there's purpose in that. I think the Bible is broader than just the words we read. There's so much more to it. Jesus said, you sit here, I'm going to go pray there. But that's a message for eternity. If Jesus said it, it means something forever. It doesn't change. Whatever culture, whatever it is. So sometimes we just need to sit, don't we? We need to just sit and say, Lord, I believe you're doing something. I don't see great revival happening now, but I believe you're working in the hearts of men and women. I believe that things are happening all over the world. I think things are happening in me that I don't even know about. Because God does his best work in the dark. He says, you know, I dwell in the thick darkness. We don't know most of what God is doing. We can see what he does because I believe he is a creator. I was talking with a Delta reservationist today by phone. I had to call something I don't like anybody. And I called her and I said, hey, this is John. She said, yes, I have your information here. And she told me her name, Noni. And I said, I'm so glad that you answered. I'm glad to get to talk to you. And we talked for a few minutes. And I said, I need to straighten this. I need to see about this. And I said, now, Nonnie, I need you to know this is a long flight, as you know. It's a 10-hour flight. I need to make sure the seat I'm in and something's happened to my seat. She said, well, let me see. And I said, well, I want you to please look at this now. I'm really praying about this. She said, well, let's see what the great creator can do through this computer that I don't like. Now, all along you get somebody like that on the phone that gives you a hint. And I said, Noni, I'm so glad you were answered. I said, help me now. I said, because I'm an old guy. She said, well, I'm an old girl too. I said, I need a better seat than this. She said, we're going to fix you up. I said, amen. She said, praise God. I said, wow. So the Lord's doing things with Delta reservationists in Atlanta and Minneapolis and Denver and San Francisco that they can't really talk about because they're being recorded. Now, this was being recorded, and I said, I'm so thankful they're recording this because I want your supervisor to know how much I appreciate you and that you really do honor God in your work, whether you're talking about him or not. Sit here. Sit here, Bob. I'm going to go pray over yonder. And while I'm praying over yonder, I'm going to do some things for people that you won't even know about. You may never know until you get to heaven. You, again, we could stay till tomorrow and you could share stories like, John, this week I met somebody and the Lord just put them in my mind. I know it happened. I know that was the Lord. Well, he's working. He doesn't sit when we do. Now, I won't stop. We'll read the rest, hit three quick points, pray. Pray that I'll do that. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know, the Bible calls Jesus a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That's what we get to watch with Jesus. And he went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Lord, I don't know what's going on today, but nevertheless, as thou wilt, do it. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, "What, can ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me," a little different prayer, "if it may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, they were sleepy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." In the same sentence, he says, "Keep sleeping and rise and go." Mm-hmm. Take your rest. Sleep and rest, but get up. Rise up. I love Joshua. I think Joshua is next to David, the greatest warrior that ever lived. Throw him in there with Achilles, that we don't know if he really lived or not. He's legend, he's myth, but some say he really lived. Ragnar, Harold, great. I love Viking stories. I'm just a big old kid, but I love Viking stories. You look at all the warriors of all history. In our day, Chris Kyle, Brian Flynn, great snipers, military men. And in Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise." Moses is dead, now you get up. "Rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people with thee, to the land that I have promised you. Every place that the sole of your foot touches, I have given to you for an inheritance and to your the children of Israel. From the river Euphrates to the great sea, all the land of the Hittites, I give to you for an inheritance. But be strong and very courageous. Don't be dismayed." Three times he says it, "Be strong and very courageous." Now here Jesus says, "Sit, I'll pray. Sleep and get your rest. Now get up." Every morning, we go through what some, like the old Christian mystic said, we're resurrected unto a new life. We go to bed at night and we die. And in the morning, the Lord resurrects us. For what? If we can, if we're physically able, to rise up. If we're not physically able, to rise up in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits. Watch with me. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, "Watch with me." Could you not watch for an hour? There's one thing I'm sure of. I may not watch with him, but he always watches me. He never slumbers, he never sleeps. Every morning when I finish my little wake-up ritual and before I get out of bed, I always close by saying, "Thank you, Lord, for good sleep and rest, for protecting me through the night, for no harm coming. That I'm awake, I can wake up, get up, and move up. And I thank you that because of you, today and always, there are infinite possibilities." Yeah. I have to start my day that way or I'll get depressed. Because I don't see infinite possibilities. I'm in the dark. And that's where Jesus is. Anna Mott, one of my favorite writers, quotes a friend of hers and says, it gets darker and darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. That's where we are. It's getting darker. I think most anybody would recognize that. I'm not speaking politically. I'm speaking of the world. So what does it mean to watch? Here are the three quick things. Jesus said it three times, so he says, well, watch with me, stay awake, whatever. So three things, stay awake, be alert, and be vigilant. That's all I can get out of this. These 11 verses, I think those three things, maybe Jesus is saying to me, and maybe to you. Number one, stay awake. Or in other words, be aware of yourself, and be aware of others. Who am I? What's going on in me? What drives me? And when I say me, I'm talking about you too. Well, ask yourself that question. What drives me? What inspires me? What motivates me? What moves me? What am I really interested in? What are my little wake-up things that I do there? I say, when? While I'm lying in bed. Stretching. I do stretches before I get up too. I'm stretching in bed and yearning. And I say, when? Because I want to win. And yes, I want FSU to win tonight. But what it means is that everything's an acronym now. You know, well, we got the PRC going to HHK, and then y'all come with us to IMJ, like we're supposed to know what that means. WIN, W-I-N. What do you think that might mean? What's important now? That's all it means. Because if we'll recognize what's important now, we can win. If we don't recognize what's important, we're not going to win. It's like when you shoot at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I mean, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What's important now? O-W-M. Only what matters. What's important now is only what matters. It's always been that way. So, what's important to you? You got some things important to you that aren't important to me. I probably have some things important to me that aren't important to you. But I'm with you. If it's important to you, count me in. Put me in, coach. I'm with you. Know yourself. And then let's know others too. Know the people around us. You know what has happened? I think it's happened for many years. This is my opinion. I'm not a, you know, sociologist or anything, but I think for many, many years people were drawn together in certain ways, but the pandemic gave an excuse to withdraw. And I'd like to help the Jews, but I have to take care of my family. And I'm afraid to get around you. I don't know who you've been with. Now that, yes, that's something to consider. But what it did was not just to try to keep us well. But something clicked in here that fell to here. And it said, tell you what, you take care of yourself, I'll take care of myself. I was having lunch Saturday with some good friends from Atlanta. And they said, tell us what's going on in your life. I said, what time's the ball game? This was at Auburn. And I wasn't going. I was there for a meeting to meet with them. I said, what time's the game? They said, oh, we got plenty of time. I said, not to hear what's going on. Now, I've known them since 1966. I was talking on the phone. Martha overheard this while we were coming. Dick was my suite mate. We had, at the athletic dorm, we had four rooms and a suite. Two guys per room, and Dick was not only a sweet mate, he was a defensive end, but he was also a true friend and one of two men that I've kept up with since school, even from the football team, two of us. But anyway, I said, well, this is happening, that's happening, and Terry's sitting there, who I've loved since the first day I looked at her, and they got married our junior year. And they just sitting there looking at me. And Dick said, do you read this stuff or do you see it? I said, Dick, I see it and talk every day. I said, do you have WhatsApp? He said, no. I said, I can go on WhatsApp. I said, I just talked 3 days ago with a friend in Moscow, in Russia. I talked with people in the islands, Central America, South America, Korea, for free. On WhatsApp is free. I don't know how they do that. I don't care. But if you have an iPhone and you're on WhatsApp, you can talk to anybody in the world. And I said, I talk to people who see this. And I see it. I see it everywhere I go. I just got back from the Bahamas. I saw it there. I went to get some eggs for somebody, bought a dozen eggs for $8.50. Filled up the van one night, it was $198 to get 20 gallons of gas. I said, I see this all the time. He said, we live in a bubble. Dick owns his own company. Has done extremely well. And doesn't give me a dime. He knows I'm in business. What's the matter with him? He said, we're in a bubble. I said, well, you're in a different kind of bubble from what I'm in. And you're dealing with people that have problems I don't even understand. I said, you're in a different bubble. I'm in one that's on the opposite end of the economic scale than where you are. Because he has very few clients that are net worth is under $20 million. Wow. And that's it. He's in a bubble. Yeah. I don't understand that bubble. But I said, just talk to him. You know the Lord. Terry said, I pray for him every day. That the Lord will use him. Know yourself and know others. Know what's going on in somebody's life. See what's happening. See what we can do to help them. Because that's all that's going to matter in this life. It really is. What can I do for somebody else? Number two, be alert, which means stay focused. Focus, I think, is one of the most important words in our vocabulary. Maybe in the top five, anyway. Without focus, we miss the target. You find out what's important. Who am I? What's important to me? What can I do to help you? What is God calling me to do? I mean, the music tonight was fantastic. I needed that. Bad. It was so good. Some of the older kind of, we used to call praise and worship music. Travis, I'm super. What can I do? What are my gifts? How can I help somebody else? What can I do for somebody? And focus on it. There's a lady who lives close to Abbeville, not 40 miles, close to Dothan. Martha knows where that is, of course, some of you do. And she got interested a few years ago in feeding children. She had been to Belize, and she said, you know, a reason I had Lemos, I said, oh yeah, been working with them for 5 years. She said, I want to help feed these children here. I said, fantastic. She said, will you get the money to build a building down here? I said, I thought you wanted to help children. I did. She said, well, I can get some money to feed them, but I can't afford to build a kitchen. I said, okay. Called a couple of friends. The building was built. Money back then was easier to get than now. People want to keep their money for themselves now. A lot to it. And so she came back all fired up. 10 children, a meal a day. I said, when are you going to increase it? What do you mean? I said, when are you going to increase it? And it's too long a story, but finally one day I was talking to her. I don't talk much anymore. I was talking with her and she said, I want to feed children all over the world. Don't say stuff like that. Unless you mean it. Yeah, I told her, I said, don't mess with me. And she said, no, I do. I said, well, I'll tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to change your focus. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, You're too scattered. Maybe that's why I don't talk to her anymore. I said, you're too scattered. You're interested in this one day. I said, I've known you a few years. You're interested in this one day, that one day, that one day, and then you forget them all and do something else. And I said, you're putting more emphasis on your dogs than you are on humans. That's not a popular thing to say today. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to feed children, you're going to have to wake up every morning. And before you get out of bed, start asking God how you can get more money to feed more children. And you have to get out of bed and start turning over rocks and talking to everybody you can think of, or you're not going to do it. And she did. I don't think I scare people off, but she said she meant business. And all I said was, focus. Focus. Take care of your dogs and your horses and your and all this stuff and your rental properties and buying this house on the lot, and take care of all that if you want to. But you've got to focus on feeding children. And so therefore, she didn't. Now, y'all, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not the sweetest guy that ever lived, but I'm not a bad guy. But it's just true. I would rather you be cold or hot than lukewarm, said Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But because you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I don't know what that means. But it don't sound too good to me. Pardon my grammar. I don't want to be spewed from the mouth of Jesus. I want my name to be sweet on His lips. Focus. You remember when God says to Gideon, He sends an angel, and Israel's in bad shape. The Philistines are wiping the earth with them. Gideon's threshing wheat at night. He's so afraid. And an angel comes to him and says, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon says, Who are you talking to? I ain't got a mouse in my pocket. Who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to you, Gideon. See, I believe, and I'm not trying to motivate you in any way, but I think that's what God says to all of us. That's one reason we're different. Hail, thou mighty woman of valor. Thou mighty man of valor. Thou mighty young person of valor. I do mean that. Because that's who we are. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Christ who is our life. Mighty women and men of valor. For Christ. For His honor, His glory, His majesty. And that's the only reason we need to be mighty in anything, is to glorify Him. Gideon, I want you to get an army. Call all Israel. 32,000 came. God says, that's too many. Tell whoever wants to go home to go home. 22,000 left. They didn't get the picture. He said, 10,000 is too many. You remember the story. Anyway, take them down the river and let everybody drink and watch them drink. 300 men got on one knee, held their spear, and lapped the water. And God says, those are the ones. 300, by 300, I will destroy the Philistine army. And He did. And He gave Gideon the way to do it. Lamps and trumpets, because God works in weird ways. God works in strange ways His wonders to perform. Every day I pray for someone and say, Lord, this would really work well. And He doesn't say a word. Because He's got other ideas. So, be focused. The third thing, finally, be vigilant, meaning be zealous and energized. And zeal just simply means we're asking God every day to give us an attitude of knowing He has infinite possibilities and that He gives us strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 3. And he makes us courageous and bold and strengthens us, Joshua 1. He keeps away any dismay and any despondency because his spirit is so powerful, greater is he than you, than he that is in the world, 1 John 3:3. So that's who we are. That's our name and that's the recipe. We're Christians and we're God's cooking in us all the time by his spirit, strength, courage, boldness, wisdom, grace, and mercy. Ingenuity, talents, vision, imagination. He's got a recipe that when he cooks it up, things really happen, and it's different from the world. And that young Maggie, yesterday in Auburn, who wants to be a sous chef, getting married, they don't know where they'll live. If I had said to her, Maggie, you got the recipe, honey. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory cooking in you by the Spirit every day. That's our seal. And that's the only way that we can be energized. Well, let me close with this. Just a little something to say. This is a little bit that's happening in the world that we're kept in the dark about. I love the Jesus film. You familiar with that? Well, back in 1982, I was sitting at a breakfast with Dr. Bill Bright. From that time till he died, he would never remember me. But we're having breakfast with a few men, and he said, I've got something new. He said, you may be interested in this. And I was just a young buck, full of myself. And he said, we're starting the Jesus film, Campus Crusade for Christ. He said, we're going to make a film of the life of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a great film. Full-length movie. And he said, we're going to translate it to other languages. We're going to take it all over the world. We're going to hook up generators. We're going into the jungle. That was Dr. Bright. He was a visionary. We're going to go in the jungle. We're going to show this film here. We've got to say, wow, Dr. Bright, that's really something. Would you pass the sausage, please? So we're eating, you know, and I thought, that's really good. Not long after that, I got the letter. First translation of the Jesus film. And here are some figures from 2021. The Jesus, called the Jesus Project, the Jesus film, and you can have a part in this. Now this is just reported. This ain't really what happened. This is just reported. The number of views in the 2021 of the Jesus film were 764,281,813. Over 2,000 translations of the Jesus film, language and dialect. Decisions for Christ reported, so we don't really know how many there were, reported 18,741,460. Ah! Isn't this good? Better than a touchdown. As I saw on television, but wait, there's more. Last point, churches planted. Now these are people who come to Christ and planted churches in these other countries. 113,477. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You know where the fastest growing church in the world is? Iran. You won't hear that on in this in the stinking sea. Because they ain't going to talk about it. Oh, Iran. Tonight, people, when you go to bed, be afraid Iran may blow us up. Well, let them blow us up. We'll be in heaven. Well, why did Christians, when did we get so afraid to die? Good gracious, it's a blessing. Now, I mean, I realize I'm a few days away from 75. I might not have said this when I was 10. But, I mean, good grief. But Iran, so many people coming to Christ, they can't even count them. In the heart of Islam,